Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast. You didn't love by default. You don't know what's what. You don't know what's real. You don't know what's hot. Reality can and won't fight in the bubble. Life is so good, you're in all kinds of trouble. And love by default. That is how you know. That is how you care. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Band of Skulls is a classic rock trio. No need for modifiers like indie rock, hard rock, blues rock, soft rock. Band of Skulls covers all of it. Well, maybe not the soft rock part. Their latest album, called By Default, might recall Led Zeppelin one moment, Talking Heads the next. All played on this classic combination of guitar, bass, and drums. But today, Band of Skulls are doing something a little different. They've all got guitars, and two of the three are unplugged. Let's hear the song Black Magic in this first live performance. It's Band of Skulls live on Soundcheck.
One, two. Competition, clean, whoa, whoa, whoa. And if you put up a fight, I ain't got nothing tonight. No, no, no. Don't play so innocent, innocent. Why be so innocent, innocent, innocent? Put your black magic over me. I never gave up so easily. Cause every insult is an injury. When you put your black magic over me, you did whatever you could. Nobody likes it when you're good. Why does it take you so long? You haven't started and I'm gone. So no, no, no. Don't play so innocent, innocent. Why be so innocent, innocent, innocent? Never gave up so easily. Cause every insult is an injury. When you push your black magic over me, over me. Push your black magic over me. I never gave up so easily. Cause every insult is an injury. When you push your black magic over me. Whoa. How about no? Cause every insult is an injury. When you put your black mask.
Black Magic is the song from Band of Skulls from England here in our New York studio. You'll find the full-on Amps to 11 version of that on their most recent album called By Default. Russell Marsden singing and playing acoustic guitar. Hi, Russell.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Emma Richardson is normally the group's bass player and also lead vocalist, but you're on acoustic guitar today as well.
I'm indeed, yes.
Okay. And the band's drummer, Matt Hayward, is playing the electric guitar. Do you get to do that often, Matt?
I don't get paid anymore. I'd like to mention.
We all play guitar.
Yeah,
so
clearly.
It's tough for me because I've got competition and everyone gets involved. So it's not the defined roles that some bands definitely have.
Yeah. It was interesting hearing that song kind of stripped down like this, because on the record, I know I'm not the first person to make the comparison to the George Harrison song, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. There's that little kind of descending series of notes, of chords. But what I hadn't noticed was the kind of the beginning of Lola.
For the acoustic one, completely that. Absolutely Lola by the Kinks. Because it's not, with an acoustic version, we're not making a record to release release as our own composition. So to redo it in an acoustic land with a song that we love just makes it fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it sounded like Matt might have been doing The Who, The Real Me with your part there for a moment or two.
I was going for more meters than
a little meters,
yeah,
a little Leo Nocentelli kind of sound.
Yeah.
All right.
But there you go.
Now you guys have been road warriors the whole time the band has been in existence. And the story with this record was you kind of took this as a chance to get off the road, kind of take a deep breath and make something new. What was the idea going into the studio for this record?
We took some time. We wanted to find a new space to write to make the next record. And we found an amazing church in our hometown, which we walk past every day. You know,
Your hometown being
Southampton in the UK. And we went in and asked the Reverend if he could hire us one of the halls, and he was very kind and allowed us to use one of the main rooms in this church, which was quite a big space. So we were there like Monday to Friday, and we piled all our gear in and set up camp. And the sound of that place really inspired the writing process, and then of the record. I think we captured that room on the record.
So that was it—a really reverberant, a kind of echoey space.
Yeah. It was like it was a kind of church hall in many respects. No seats or anything.
Right.
And it sounded sweet, especially on the drums. And Matt brought his small vintage kit in. And we had the smallest little lunchbox amps, pointed them all at the ceiling. We sang unmicrophoned,
Right.
We sang up at the roof, and it was great.
Yeah.
We wrote 100 songs in that room.
No way.
Yes.
100 songs?
We wrote 100 songs, yeah.
Wow.
So it was an amazing thing. And what we wanted to do is to have that moment like when you make your first record where you have got 100 songs,
right,
because you've been writing since you were at high school or whatever, waiting for your lucky break. And as, your band or your career goes on, it becomes less like that. It becomes like, stop, write 12 songs and put them out.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to sort of break that cycle and almost have that. We've still got, 90-odd things that we didn't put on the record, and that's a great feeling going forward. Yeah.
You know, there was a time back in the late 70s where Bowie was quoted as saying, I'm writing like 50 songs a week.
Yeah, probably was.
Yeah,
not sleeping.
Yeah, right. That's what a diet of milk and cocaine, I guess, will do for you.
Yeah.
So is the title, By Default, intentionally misleading?
Absolutely. Because we changed up kind of the producer and how we wrote the songs. We experimented with lots of different instruments, and it wasn't the basic Band of Skulls thing. So yeah, it was our tongue in cheek thing.
Yeah.
So we were not on our default setting.
Right.
And it worked for that reason.
And by the end of the record, I mean, with the final track, everything, you're in a kind of different sonic world entirely. You've got the Indian tambora droning in the background and stuff. So is that kind of like you know, a signpost into the future for you guys?
I think every song is a signpost into different alternate futures. I think that's what we wanted to do. Yeah, often it is. The last song kind of suggests something, but every song is a possible direction that we could take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there are these 80-some-odd others, these orphan songs that...
Yeah.
What happens?
I like that. we're still working on them.
Okay.
And in our mind, they're still the jam. You know, we've got them. There's a few copies around the band, and we play them and... Yeah, waiting for them to have their moment. But sometimes that's good. Songs can kind of grow up a little bit before they're put down, you know.
Right. Now, so you took some time off, you made the record, and then it seems like you've fallen into old habits because your schedule for the rest of this year is pretty grueling. U.S., then U.K., Europe, the continent, and then Australia, all in pretty rapid succession.
Yeah, and we've stopped having days off. We've given up days off. Because that's just, you know, in the modern world, that doesn't work. So, yeah, we've just done 5 weeks of the States and Canada. We started here in New York City, and we're back.
Yeah.
We've done a whole lap. It was beautiful.
And how do you know where you are? I mean, how do you keep up? Is it just another set of, you know, concert venue, hotel room? I mean, how do you get to see anything when you're maintaining that kind of schedule?
We try. It's pretty relentless this time. But most days you get up and go out and try and explore, and even if it's just down the road to the get a coffee. If you've got 5 minutes, you try and immerse yourself a little bit in the city.
But there's a difference. You know, you're in the desert. There's cactus by the side of the bus, or you're in Montreal or something, and everyone's speaking French. There's definitely these big differences. They're kind of small every day. But when you go past a week, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
A week ago, you know, we were in Vancouver, and now we are in San Diego, and that's a big difference.
Right. Whole different set of clothing required.
And food, everything. Yeah, everything's different. And then, so just order some food, and you'll find out where you are.
Right. Band of Skulls with us here in the Soundcheck studio. The album is called By Default. It's out now, and they're playing some songs in this kind of stripped-down version. You want to do So Good next?
Let's do it.
All right. So Good from the band of Skulls.
Something new to pass the days. I was old, blinker and blind, and you blew my mind. You're so good, you're so good for me now. You're so good for me, you're so good. You're so good for me. Try to find a way, looking up and all around. Now you turn the lights up bright, it's you that I found. And the tide is high, and the water overflows, and no matter. So good for me. it goes, always when you least expect it. Only one in the world who knows me like that.
Band of Skulls, live on Soundcheck, and the song called So Good, which is from their latest album called By Default. Once again, Russell Marsden and Emma Richardson on acoustic guitars and singing, Matt Hayward on electric guitar. You mentioned before, Russell, you wrote like 100 songs in this church in Southampton in making this record. What is the songwriting process like? You, all three of you are songwriters.
That's right. Which kind of goes back to the guitar thing, you know. It's very easy. It's the easiest way for us to communicate an idea is to pick up the guitar and say, "This is how the thing is," you know. And then that the riff might become a bass line, or vice versa, or another thing. And that's kind of how we start. Then there's lots of underhand techniques that we then employ to try and get our ideas to the front. So. Matt's one, one of my ones is I'll hang out and just stop playing the riff, the song, weeks before I present it as a demo and just get it into people's minds.
That's
like,
subliminal,
you know,
tactic.
Yeah. And then like, oh yeah, I know this one, you know, and it kind of, that's my technique there. Uh-huh. But, you know, we all do different ways of, you know, it's basically no rules and it's not one way's better. You can come in, make, you know, improvise something on the day or come in with some epic demo that we need to edit down. Or, you know, or bring in a record that you like, an old buy a record and find some old sound we want to go for. The Meters was one that we definitely spoke about on this record.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So are all of the songs collaborative? I mean, you know, how are vocal duties assigned?
It's whatever works for the song, really. So, like, there could be a lyric which, say, Russell wrote, but then I end up singing.
Okay.
Or vice versa. Or... And the male-female kind of harmonies and making sure it's the best possible structure and sound for that particular song, I guess, yeah.
We've got two different we've got two more instruments in our band,
right.
and our voices, and we've been singing together for a long time. And, yeah, it's like if you had a little orchestra and you'd have a violin and a viola. Like, we're different. Like,
mm-hmm.
I can do a good impression of Emma, but I can't sing like she can. And and we try and arrange the music to sonically be the richest flavor,
mm-hmm.
or sometimes a surprise, you know.
Yeah,
I'll be singing higher than them, or something like that. You know, we play around with that aspect because it's kind of the unique thing.
Yeah,
that we do.
So all the songs are credited to the three of you.
Yeah, yeah. It's the Queen model.
Right,
right.
So is it true that the original name of this band was Fleeing New York?
It was. And here we are.
And here you are. Not for the first time either.
No. Yeah, it was back in the day.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
It was a chapter. I think we pulled a book out of a bookshelf and it was Hunter S. Thompson's Songs of the Doomed, and it was a chapter in that book. And I thought, and it looked great in print, sounded kind of cool. We'd never been to New York. We all wanted to go. So like,
right. Yeah, so it was exactly the opposite. Yeah. Okay. Because, you know, as a native New Yorker, I see a name like that, and I'm like, why would I ever want to see this band?
Yeah, we didn't think that far through. You know, we were playing to our friends, at, you know, high school, college sort of years.
Yeah.
And it stuck, and we had it for quite a long time, and, you know, and it's a bit like getting rid of your losing your nickname from college, or uh-huh. getting yourself a professional email address. It's a bit like that, you know. No, you can't go into work with, you know, the devil.
Right. So you made the professional decision to call yourselves Band of Skulls.
We traded under nothing for a while, which was quite freeing, and sort of came back and still streamlined lineup and just us three and made a new record, wrote some new songs, and just felt like the right time.
Yeah,
so that was cool. And amazingly, no one had that name. We were flabbergasted.
Yeah. You know, you think of all the black metal bands out there and death metal and doom metal, somebody would have stumbled across this particular combination of words.
Yeah, it was us.
It was you. Now, Matt, you mentioned the Meters before, as a kind of a touchstone for the band. What are some of the others? You know, what are some of the other kind of in the pantheon of Band of Skulls?
When we first started out, me and Russell first got together and we started playing music together. And Russell would kind of come in and show me different sort of artists and stuff. And I think we kind of settled on, we were very young at this point. So like, I think I was about 10 years old.
Wow.
And we had, we listened to a lot of Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles. So I think we kind of learned how to play in a kind of fake Hendrix kind of badly done sort of knockoff. But we got pretty good at our badly done sort of knockoff.
Yeah.
And so we were kids with we were lucky. My dad, I used to run a recording studio at our home, my home, and it's at the top of the garden. So he gave it up when I was born sort of to hang out with me. We had this room at the top of the garden, which was soundproofed. And so we had our own rehearsal space, which was kind of complete luxury. Even today, you know, one of the hardest things for a new band is finding a space to rehearse, you know,
right.
And not pissing anybody off. So
we were well rehearsed before we ever did a show because we could make noise without any problem.
Right. Yeah. So we were lucky. We were fortunate that way. But yeah, I think, you know, my first memory was, you know, playing sort of listening to Electric Ladyland and just trying to.
Which is pretty cool for a 10-year-old, I must say.
Absolutely. See? Not bad.
Not bad.
Oh, I was listening to loads of other really bad stuff as well. Yeah. Like, I'm totally tailoring this to make it sound way cooler than it was.
So but the fact that you guys have known each other and have played together since 10.
Yeah,
and
we've been
still on speaking terms.
We've been playing music longer than we haven't been playing music together, I've worked out, you know.
Excellent. Yeah, we don't need to speak anymore. We can just musically.
Right.
We can have a dialogue musically. It seems to be better that way, you know.
So you can a little screamy guitar solo if you're pissed off at him and
we battle it out at gigs. You know? We did it the other day. You upset me halfway through the gig because you didn't remember to do something. So then I later on in the gig I screwed you over. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Wow, yeah. Thanks for that.
Yeah, watch out tonight.
Sure, the audience felt the same way.
It's your turn.
It's like when mommy and daddy are having an argument. Yeah.
Sorry, Em. Yeah. Did you even realize? I didn't realize you were having
It's because you didn't take the bins out of the bus.
It was the bins. I didn't do the dishes.
God, there's so much more to being in a band than I would have thought.
It's just like regular life with noise.
It's pretty wild.
It's Band of Skulls. They're here in New York with us on Soundcheck today. The next piece you're going to do for us is Bodies, another one from the new record, and eager to hear this in its stripped-down setting. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. Band of Skulls, live on Soundcheck.
Sorry to start, but I really wanted something. You played the part, but my life ain't seen no change. I threw down my heart, maybe now I'll raise the question. Will you be there till the end? Your body is nothing without mine and nobody. carry the weight of the world upon my shoulders. If this is fate, tell me where did I go wrong? And I breathe in the sound of your light as it's reflected. So when you're alone, let me know. Your body is nothing without mine, and nobody could compare. Your body is nothing without mine, and nobody could compare. I'm sorry to start, but I really wanted something. So will you be there till the end? Yeah. Without mine, and nobody could compare. Your body is nothing without mine, and nobody.
Bodies is the name of the song. It's from the album By Default from Band of Skulls. Matt, you had like a David Lynch movie soundtrack thing going there.
Yeah, that's it.
You know. That's the meters again. Yeah, when Matt does the meters, other things happen.
So the album's been out. You guys are touring around. I first heard you guys in 2012, so it's been like at least four, it's been like 5 or 6 years that you've been touring, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
What is the longest period of time that the three of you have been off the road in those 5 years?
This writing session for the record, which was, it was kind of 6 months, 8 months, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. we were back in the studio and we were doing gigs, but like we didn't have a show booked and we kept it that way. We're like, no, we're working. And yeah, that's the longest we've not been on the road since, really, going back to when we were a young band, yeah, doing gigs.
Right.
Before that, it would be a week off, maybe.
Maybe a week.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then, you know, for us, it's like, it's our life. We get sad if we're not playing. It's such a thrill, and it still continues to be such a thrill to play, to sit at home and not do shows. It's just... it's pretty awful,
yeah.
Not to get that buzz, you know. So,
well, you know, I there are a few things I love more than like coming into this studio with musicians and hearing the music being made live and stuff. But even so, I need to take a week or two off occasionally. You know, so for you guys, it sounds like making a record is your vacation.
In some respects, yeah. Like Matt will often say, it's a good one. Is the fact. When you've had enough of the road, then going to the studio kind of gets that out of your system as well, gets those creative juices happening. And then when that becomes kind of cabin fever and you want to get out of there, you know, adventure of the road is there to have again.
All right.
And the world doesn't go away, you know, so.
No, it certainly doesn't. And you're seeing quite a bit of it this time around. US, UK, Europe, Australia, all in rapid succession in support of the new album called By Default. It's Band of Skulls. And guys, it's been a real pleasure having you with us today. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
This is Soundcheck. That does it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but there's much more on our website, our weekly music roundup, our daily gig alerts, and of course, our Soundcheck podcasts, bringing you live music and videos and lots more. That's at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.
This was fantasy, I'd condone it. But you moved so thoughtlessly, I'd atone for it. From under the bleachers to the windmills of my